I thank Mr. Gracie for the warm word of welcome, and it is good to be with you on this special occasion at the relaunch of your auxiliary. But I've been given the title, Why Scripture Distribution is a Biblical Priority. Now today, it's very sad to note that there are many in the visible and professing Church of Jesus Christ who do not engage in any scriptural distribution. And we have to ask the question, why? Is it perhaps that there are some who do not think that it will be effective? They do not think that handing a Bible or a gospel tract or a scriptural calendar to some soul will have any effect upon them. There's others who will maybe just lament the spiritual decline, and they will conclude that all is lost and there is no hope for our nation. There's others, and we perhaps have met them, perhaps we are them, and they say, well, we have done so much and we've reaped so little, why bother? And these are the sort of attitudes that can prevail. There's perhaps a new breed coming along who say, well, we don't want to give out Bibles. Nobody will read a Bible. We don't want to give out Scripture. That's just boring. If we want to win people, we need things that are entertaining and amusing. We need gimmicks and showboating to try and attract people in. There was one such church in Northern Ireland, and this is what they did. The pastor one Lord's Day morning, and I'm reluctant to call him a pastor, but he said, everybody look under your seat. Somebody has an envelope, and somebody had an envelope under their seat with a free holiday that they won for coming to church. Now you can imagine, next Sunday, the church was a good bit busier because people came in expecting to receive this sort of gimmick. And sadly, there's many who do not believe in distributing the scripture, because they reject the inspiration, the inerrancy, and indeed the authority and the power of God's word. Putting it simply, they do not have the faith or confidence in the power of God's word. But should the Church of Jesus Christ be engaged in scriptural distribution? Well, the answer, we believe, of course, is yes. And scripture shows very clearly that we have a responsibility and a duty to share the gospel. Now, whenever we say scripture distribution, we're not just confining ourselves to whole copies of the Bible. As our brother has indicated already, there's a variety of different ways to distribute the scripture: New Testaments, gospels, gospel tracts, calendars, and poster texts with scripture. And these are all valuable ways to share the word of God. And I want to share with you just a couple of key points today. I'm not going into large exposition on any of these, but rather just giving a broad overview of why Scripture is a key and biblical priority. First of all, it's a priority because Scripture is special revelation. God has two forms of revelation. The first one's natural revelation. We know that by the creation of the world. We know that there's a creator and a designer because of the beauty around us. The second form of revelation is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit applies the Holy Word, making salvation effectual in the souls of sinners. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So whenever we go out to reach the lost and the perishing, we could of course try our own words, but why do we need to use our words whenever we can use the inspired word of God? That phrase, given by inspiration of God, is one word in the original Greek, theopneustos, and it means this: God breathed out. So what we're handing out to sinners in Bibles and calendars and posters is the God-breathed out word. So Scripture is God's special revelation. 2 Peter 1 verse 21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see the role of God the Holy Spirit in the inspired word. Now, boys and girls, that doesn't mean that men like Moses and David and Peter and Paul had the scriptures dictated to them by God, nor does it mean that they merely became robots. But God used the human writer with his personality, his skills and his talents, and he moved through them to record the sacred scriptures. Sadly, today there are those who think that God reveals himself in other ways, dreams, visions, or even continues to speak through prophets. And what they're really saying is the scripture is not enough. Whereas we believe the scripture is enough. We believe that this book is sufficient. We believe that this is God's revelation, and we should be sharing it with the world. Secondly, scriptural distribution is a biblical priority because it's all about Jesus Christ. We don't first learn about Jesus Christ it doesn't just first appear to us in Matthew's Gospel. This whole book is about him. We read of him in the garden. We read of him in types and shadows throughout the Old Testament. The psalmist sang of him. The prophets spoke of him. This whole book is about him. So whenever we're coming to witness to a lost sinner, what we really need to present to them is Jesus Christ. And he is found in this book. He said to the Jews who sought to kill him in John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me." Speaking to them about the Old Testament, he says, "This testifies of me." On the road to Emmaus, in Luke 24:27, it said that our Savior conversing with those that he walked with, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:44. To the disciples after his resurrection, he said, "These are the words which I speak unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And then John 1:45, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." So dear friends, the vital reason that we share the scriptures with sinners is because this book is all about Jesus Christ. And we know that without him they cannot come unto the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. So when we're sharing scripture, we're sharing Christ with sinners. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit makes scripture effectual in the souls of sinners. Mark 16:20, speaking of the Great Commission, it says, "The disciples went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." They didn't go out by themselves. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word, the scriptures of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Our gospel came in much power. And dear friends, that's because the Holy Spirit applies the word and makes it effectual. At Joppa, whenever Peter was with Cornelius in Acts 10:44, it says, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." And there's the vital teaching. The Holy Spirit accompanies the word, applying it in the souls of the lost. Fourthly, it should be a priority because we can distribute nothing more powerful than the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Paul says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." Paul had confidence in this book. He had confidence in the scriptures that it had power. And dear friends, we should have the same confidence in the power of God's word. we shouldn't look at Scripture and say, well, nobody's going to read it, so there's no point handing out these calendars or putting up these posters. Oh, they'll just think that's old fuddy-duddy language. No, we should have confidence that this is the living Word of the living God, and there's power with it. To young Timothy, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. Now look at what Paul says about Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what Scriptures do. They make sinners wise unto salvation. And that is the power of God through his precious word. In Antioch, Acts 13:49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all regions. The word published can be understood carried. This is what happened in Antioch. The word of the Lord spread like wildfire, carried throughout all regions. As a Bible society, we receive letters from those who receive scriptures from us. In South Africa, we received this report from a man, Anton. He distributed the Golden Thoughts calendars to those who lost their jobs and homes. They had no income. They had families to feed. These people stay where they can find a place. They live in cars, under trees, in caravan parks, in tents. This man was very excited about the reaction of the people who received the Golden Thoughts calendars. He told us that many people kissed or embraced the calendars, and others praised the Lord and had big smiles of gratitude. From Malawi, we received this report. I'd like to thank you for the calendars and the Bibles. Many people are praising the Lord for them. They are now learning the Word of God through the Bibles and calendars. But still more. We need more Bibles and calendars. You see, sometimes people might not listen to you or to me, but they'll maybe take something from you. A number of years ago, I was up in the northeast of Scotland, and I was going around the local countryside area with calendars, and I walked up a certain farmer's lane, and he yelled at me. He said, "Who are you and what do you want?" And I said, "Well, I'm the minister of the church just over the hill there." He said, "You can go away." He said, "I'm not interested. I'll not be along the church." And I said, "Well, I'm just here to give you a free calendar." And he said, "Well, I'll take the calendar, but you can go." You see, he wasn't willing to engage in a conversation about the gospel, but being a farmer, he didn't want to pass over something that was free, so he took the calendar. And we don't know how the Lord could use that and speak to that man, but the main thing is, the Word of God is in that man's home. So, sometimes these things can maybe have that conversation that you and I are not able to do. From a secondary school teacher in Malawi, where 64 students received the Bible, this report came: the Bibles will assist the students as they're taking Bible knowledge as a subject for their national examination. But secondly, the Bibles have improved the understanding of English as a subject. And finally, the behaviour of students have improved as most of them have been devoted to Christianity. The behaviour has improved through the reading of the Word. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. This is from a primary school in Colchester. "Thank you once again for your kind gift of the Holy Scriptures. They are presented to our children who are leaving the primary education to begin their secondary education. All those who receive the Scriptures have been taught about the importance to daily life of the Bible and its meaning, and your gifts help to keep our children within the fellowship of the church." So, one last one here. A prison in Kenya reports that 400 inmates are thankful for the New Testaments they previously received, but they want the whole Bible. They don't just want the New Testament, they want the whole Bible, because there's power in the Word of God, and we have to have confidence in the Scriptures that we are sharing. Fifthly, God's Word is fundamental to salvation and revival. We've already thought about salvation, but look at these passages concerning revival. I'll not read them out today, for time's moving. But King Josiah's day, what happened? It says that he read in their ears all the words of the book. And what happened in Josiah's day? Revival. In Ezra's day, Nehemiah 8 verse 1, the people gathered at the water gate and they called for Ezra, bring the book. And whenever the book was brought, the people wept. And then they rejoice. In the early church in Jerusalem, Acts 6 verse 7, it says, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. There's only three examples, but there's multiple examples of revival in the scripture, and they all centre on the word of God. Even when we think of the nation of Scotland here and the revivals that have come, what has been the fundamental focus? It's been the word of God, and the Holy Spirit applies the word as it is preached, as it is distributed throughout place to place. Revival doesn't come during times of dancing and singing. God speaks through his word and he brings conviction of sin and evangelical repentance. Another reason that scripture distribution should be a priority for us, because personally we should be those who have a missionary heart. We should have a heart to see sinners converted through God's word. Whenever we think of the Apostle Paul, he was such a man who had a love for the Jews, even though they hated him, stoned him, sought to have him killed on several occasions. He had a heart and a love to see sinners converted. To look at the three verses, he says to the Romans, he has a great heaviness and continual, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He would wish himself accursed for his fellow Jew. He said his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Dear friend, we should have that missionary heart whenever we think of those who do not believe, whenever we think of the eternity that awaits them. We should have that passion and compassion and pity upon them. At Ephesus, in Acts 20, the apostle said therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Tears. He had a desire for those at Ephesus. He prayed for them. He wept over them. He wept before them. And we should have that missionary heart. We think of Jonah. Some people think that Jonah's first endeavour as a prophet was to go to Nineveh. But I believe that Jonah was a prophet before he was called to go to Nineveh. But Jonah's problem was that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want to see the Ninevites converted. He had no love for them. Even whenever the Lord moved in revival power, Jonah was still bitter. Dear friend, we should have a love and compassion for those around us who are strangers to the grace of God. We should have that missionary heart. I remember many years ago, I was young before I was converted. I was working in a factory and there was a man who attended a Brethren Hall and they were having a mission. And the Brethren Hall missions in Northern Ireland, they can go for 2 or 3 months at a time, some of them. But this man, every day in work, he asked me, will you come out to the mission tonight? Out to the mission tonight? And I kept telling him lies and kept making up excuses. And eventually, I said to my mother, I said, this man keeps asking me to go to these meetings and I'm running out of excuses to tell him. And she says, well, if he asks you again, you're going to have to go. And I thought, right, okay. So I went into work the next day expecting this man to ask me. But the man gave up. He stopped asking me. And I didn't have to go to the mission. But we should be those who have a missionary heart and a love for the souls of others, inviting them under the preaching of the word, sharing the gospel literature with them where we're able. Moving on quickly here. Christians should be those who have faith in the scriptures. We should have confidence in this book. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's God's word that brings light to those in darkness. And we should have confidence in that. We should remember the promises that God has given. Isaiah 55 verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There's great promises attached to God's word. Not just the preaching of God's word. Of course, I believe what is said about the preaching of God's word can be equally applied to the distribution of God's word as well. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Of course, those who sit under the preaching, but that same faith can come from those who read the scriptures. I remember a man recently, he came up to me after a deputation meeting, and he said, somebody handed me a Bible. He says, I took it home, I started reading it, I couldn't stop reading it. He said, the Lord opened my heart. He said, I was converted just through reading the scriptures. And dear friend, God is able to do that. We should have confidence in this book. A couple of years ago, I was burdened for my family, not converted. And I decided I was going to buy each one of them a Bible, Trinitarian Bible Society Bible. So I bought them each a Bible. And they all got it. And by and large, those Bibles, to my knowledge, have sat on shelves, barely been looked at. One family member, they came to stay with us up in Gardenstown when we lived there. They brought their Bibles, knew they would have to go to church. But whenever they had to go back to Northern Ireland, they left their Bible in our spare room. The next time they came, my wife said, don't forget your Bible this time. You forgot it last time. And they forgot their Bible again. Well, about this time last year, that family member contacted me to say that the Lord has spoken to them through his word. They weren't out at church. Somebody had put up a Bible verse on social media, and the Lord used it to bring that person to conviction of sin and to repentance. And this person said, that Bible that I've left in your house, is there any chance I can have that back? I said, no problem. So, dear friend, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We should have scriptural distribution as a priority, because sinners in the world are commanded to search the scriptures. John 5:39, what did the Lord say to the unbelieving Jews? Search the scriptures. Psalm 119, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. How can they take heed to the word if they don't know it, if they don't have it? The phrase, seek the Lord, is found over 30 times in scriptures. And this is what sinners are commanded to do. So we should seek to exhort sinners to live according to the light of God's word. Ninthly, finally, we have a duty to pray for the spreading of scriptures. Paul said to the Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Dear friend, God will glorify himself through his word. And we should be those who seek the glory of God, pray for the glory of God through the word of the Lord going out through the various channels. We need to pray for a door of utterance as well. Colossians 4 verse 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And as an auxiliary, you need to pray that the Lord would open doors into prisons, that he would open doors into nursing homes, into schools. Whenever I was up in the northeast of Scotland, I rode out to 17 schools in the local area, and only two would have me in. Dear friend, you need the Lord to open these doors and to get into these places. As our brother Joe was speaking about the nursing homes, I have a friend in the ministry, and his wife's grandmother lived to be in her late 90s. An unconverted woman spent the last years of her life in a nursing home. Somebody came in every week to the nursing home, and that's where I started off preaching, in the nursing home. And every week she would go along to the service, but in the last year of her life, the Lord opened her heart. So, dear friend, these are vital opportunities. We need to pray that we can get into these places. We also need to pray for labourers. You've seen the vast area, the vast amount of things that need to be done. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth labourers into this harvest to labour in these specific areas. We have to pray. coming to a close here today. The Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger catechism, question 4. It says, the scope of the whole scriptures, which is to give all glory to God by their light and power to convince and convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers unto salvation. The whole scope of scripture, to give glory to God. And that's surely what we want to see through this auxiliary. God glorified through the spreading and the distribution of his word, for the calling of many sons and daughters on to glory. Sharing the word of God is both a duty and a privilege of the Christian church. But we're not working individually by ourselves for our own kingdom, for our own glory. We're laborers together with God. And God is glorified through the spreading of his word and the adding on to the church, such as should be saved. Thank you very much.